Is it Christmas yet? This question gets asked multiple times a day in our house right now. It's the first question I hear in the morning. It's the last question I hear at night. It's the question I hear pretty much any time my son gets my attention. Is it Christmas yet? Not yet, son. Not yet. But that's a good answer. Not yet is a good answer, because if you were to ask me the question, Brad, are you ready for Christmas? My answer would be, not yet. We want those not yets to be in line with each other. We're spending these weeks of Advent getting the answers to both of those questions. Is it Christmas yet, and are we ready? We're spending this time trying to get them to match so that we'll answer yes to both of them at the same time. We see the lights of hope and peace burning brightly, and we hold in our hearts the possibility of both. Hope we can find when we make time to experience this journey with intention. Peace that we can experience when we're reminded of how the story of Christmas can be found, and that our story can be found within it. Hope and peace bring light to our journey. And this week, the Advent wreath is even brighter as we add a third candle, the candle of love. Today, we celebrate that we are able to receive God's love. And we reflect on how we can respond to the love of Christmas. For love has arrived. We return this week in our scriptures. We return to a story that actually we used to begin the first week of Advent. So often at Christmas times, it seems as if the Christmas story begins, in those days a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. You know, that's where the Christmas story starts. At least that's where Linus starts it. So that means that's where the Christmas story starts. You know, the census begins a journey that leads to this all too familiar setting. You know, the big one there, the little one on the altar, maybe the one you have in your own home. But as we've heard our Advent lighters read each week, the Christmas story doesn't begin in a stable in Bethlehem. It begins long before that. And even the Gospel of Luke begins before those words. You see, Mary's cousin Elizabeth is expecting a child, actually the first baby of the Christmas story. Mary's cousin Elizabeth is expecting a child that will become John the Baptist. Her husband, Zechariah, has lost the ability to speak until that child is born because he couldn't believe what the angel said. And so the angel offered him some quiet time to wrap his mind around it. Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant when the next part of our story unfolds. Hear these words from the first chapter of Luke. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a young woman who was engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. He was of the house of David. This young woman's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." She was very perplexed by his words, and she pondered what sort of a greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great. And he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will know no end." Skipping ahead just a bit. In those days, Mary set out and went quickly to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted her cousin Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child in her own womb leapt with joy, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And the scriptures continue. Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned home. Now, there's more to this story, and you can find it in the first chapter of Luke, but we really wanted to highlight and look this morning at Mary's experience of finding out about this news and her reaction to it. You see, this little vignette is easily overlooked. Mary and Elizabeth just hanging out, being pregnant together. It's not the most impressive part of the Christmas story. I mean, Zechariah gets an angel, Mary gets an angel, Joseph gets a dream, the shepherds get a multitude of the heavenly host, the magi get a star. There are some pretty flashy and awesome parts of the Christmas story. Two pregnant ladies hanging out isn't the most exciting scripture reading. But it tells us something about receiving and responding to God's love. You see, Mary has just received life-changing news. In fact, the whole world has just received life-changing news. Actually, Mary has just received life-changing news that will change the world. And how does she respond to this? Now, yes, there's some beautiful words that she quotes from the Old Testament as she offers this word in response about the joy God has brought her, but I skipped over that today. Her words are beautiful, but her actions tell us about her response. She goes to be with Elizabeth. Mary responds to God's love by seeking out relationship. She needs to be together with someone. And she needs to be together with someone who's dealing with what she's dealing with. I mean, look, Joseph seems like a really great guy. But what does he really know about angels telling you you're pregnant with a holy child? I can just hear it. Yeah, go back to the woodshop, Joe. I'm going to go see Elizabeth. I mean, this is a big moment. And how convenient is it that Mary has a cousin who totally gets the whole angel promise sacred child thing? I mean, seriously, small world. But this is part of the story. And it's meant to be that obvious. Here is Elizabeth with a holy child, and here is Mary with a holy child, and they go to be together. The best way to respond to God's love is to seek out relationship. And that's still true today. You, each of you, are about to receive God's ultimate gift of love, and we need to be together. How convenient is it that the people around you right now are also receiving God's ultimate gift of love? Small world. I think about those 3 months that Mary and Elizabeth spent together. And I think about what it must have been like for the two of them. I mean, sharing in their confusion and their excitement, sharing together in the wonder and amazement, sharing together in morning sickness and frequent trips to pee. I mean, these are things that the two of them share together and understand and know. Some of it's very practical and human. Some of it is ineffable and divine. But throughout all of it, they are together. They were confused together. They were curious together. What is God doing? They were hopeful together. They were a little anxious together. Same question. What is God doing? This is part of our Christmas story, and we are invited to do the same. We are invited to come and be together, to be curious, to be confused, to be scared, to be hopeful, to share our experiences from the practical and the human to the ineffable and the divine. Because that's what love is about. It's about being together in those kinds of things. It's about relationship. Christmas is about God coming to be together with us. And Christmas is about us coming together as we respond to that love. As we spend our Christmas together, we are using different traditions each week that feel like home. We're using these traditions to help you take something home with you as well, to add some depth and meaning to your Christmas. The tradition of the Advent wreath reminds us of the importance of expectancy and anticipation. The tradition of Christmas music can bring us peace. Next week, the tradition of Christmas trees and ornaments will help us express our joy. Each of these traditions carry as much sacred meaning as they do sentimental enjoyment. And today is no exception. Can I have the ushers come forward, please? Of all of the many traditions of Christmas that are symbols of love, cookies are my favorite. We brought enough to share. Thank you. Of all the many, many traditions, go for it, pass them. Of all the many traditions of Christmas that are symbols of love, my favorite is cookies. You see, Christmas cookies to me are about relationship. Whether there are children making a mess trying to help, or if they're made in a quiet kitchen all alone, cookies are about relationship. You see, when they're baked as a group activity, they're about that time spent together. Traditions being passed on, and memories made. My favorite memories with both of my grandmothers center around cookie baking, getting to help, getting to taste the dough, getting covered in flour as we rolled them out and cut them or spooned them onto the baking sheets. Cookies are about relationship. But they don't have to be baked in some sort of busy, extroverted environment to be about relationship. When baked alone, cookies are about the people they will be given to, the investment of time in creating something that can be enjoyed. Opening the door to see a little plate of homemade cookies all tied up with a bow waiting on your porch is a very special moment between baker and receiver, whether words are ever exchanged or not. Cookies are a form of food. Now, my wife would remind me that they are a sometimes food, but they are food, and that's also part of their sacred nature, because sharing food together is a sacred thing. When we gather for a cookie baking party, like we had 35 folks do this year before the tree lighting, we're creating something together. When we eat cookies, as we are this morning, we're breaking bread together. No, we didn't sing any liturgy, and it may not be communion, but it is communal. You know, in these relationships, the cookies, they can span generations this way. The molasses cookies that were on the trays, those are one of my family recipes. Joey and I talk about my Grandma Ruth whenever we make them, and her memory is alive in our kitchen when we do so. The salted chocolate chip cookies were made by our community coordinator, Erin, and they're one of her favorite recipes. It's one she got from her mom. She bakes those cookies with her daughter. She shares them with her neighbors. We're connected to the people. Brandon asked me a great question this morning. I love this. He was like, so when people use the phrase, my grandma's recipe, did like your grandma make that recipe? And I'm like, no, I don't think so. But it's the recipe my grandma used, so it's my grandma's recipe. And it was someone else's grandma's recipe and someone else's grandma's recipe. And someday, maybe it gets to be somebody's grandpa's recipe when I pass it on. As you leave today, we have a cookie cutter for every household. You'll find them in the baskets by every door. We have a cookie cutter for every household. Attached to them, you'll also find Aaron's salted chocolate chip cookie recipe. And I included actually a different one. I included my Grandma Lorvik's gingerbread recipe. And I believe you got it out of the Lutheran cookbook from the small town in Minnesota where you were, but that doesn't matter. It's her recipe. I invite you to share the love of cookies. Let me rephrase that, because I think I love cookies no matter what. I invite you to use cookies to share love. Bake with someone. Bake alone and give them to someone. If neither of those things strike your fancy, appreciate someone else's cookie and hang the cookie cutter on your tree as an ornament. But remember love. Because it's not about the sweet molasses or the salted chocolate goodness. It's about the relationship. It's about being a part of something together. A moment, a connection, a memory. God's perfect, life-changing, world-changing love is arriving this Christmas. And the best way for us to respond is by being together. Amen.